Turn with me, if you would, tonight. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. I think what I'm going to minister on, there's so many things that we minister on, that your pastor ministers on, that are such important truths for your life. But this one tonight, it might not seem very spectacular, but it's critical. It's critical to your faith life. It's critical to you receiving and cooperating from God with God, and it's critical for you to have the life that He intended for you to be living. And Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says this. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we could say it this way. The flow of the Holy Ghost is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the flow of the Holy Ghost. If we're not in joy, we're not in His flow. If we're not in peace, we're not in the flow of the Holy Ghost. And you can spend hours a day praying in tongues, but if you're out of peace and you're out of joy, you're not occupying and functioning in those flows. I don't care how much you pray in tongues, you're not in the flow of the Spirit. Amen. And we are called to a Spirit-filled life, and we're called to be living and walking in the Spirit. Amen. So if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we're exercising our righteousness. We're not living under condemnation. We're not living under guilt. We're not living under the cloud of the past. It's gone. By the blood of Jesus, it's gone. And we forbid any flow other than who we are in Christ to take its place. We're right with Him. And if we will be mindful that we're right with Him, we'll stay in His flow. We start getting under condemnation and guilt, and we get out of His flow. And what He has for us can't reach us because we change flows. So not only that, righteousness, peace, and joy. These things move together. If people have lost their peace and joy, they're not walking in their righteousness.
Right. Very good.
Amen. Amen. So, if people get under condemnation, they're going to quit having the flow of peace and joy in their life. So we have to understand these things are critical. He's letting us know how to stay in the flow of heaven.
Glory. Yes. Glory.
No, you know what? There's no joyless people up in heaven.
Right.
There's no people in heaven that look like this. Sour. Sad. Pickle pusses. Looking like, you know, they're just looking like they've been sucking on lemons. You know, I mean, sour. The flow of heaven is joy. The flow of heaven is peace. Don't permit any other flow than that in your daily life. Well, you don't know, Pastor Nancy, what I've gone through. I don't care. Why? God offers you a different flow. God offers you. He offers us all a different flow. And I've decided I'm living days of heaven on earth. I decide that. I don't wait for circumstances to permit that. I decide that. I decide today is a joy day. Today is a peace day. And I'm going to have that by walking in who I am in Christ. Walking in my righteousness. Amen. And so many times people are waiting for circumstances to change so that they can feel better about their life. And we're all living the life we're choosing. I didn't say you're living the circumstances you're choosing. I said you're living the life you're choosing. The day my husband went home to be with the Lord, people would say, well, was that a day of heaven on earth? Well, let me just say this. The event was not. But the flow offered me was. God did not withdraw the flow of heaven on earth that day. I still had to choose. Do I go into grief and sorrow or do I stay in peace and joy? Which is my flow? What's it say in Deuteronomy? He said, I set before you life, death. He exposes these. He's not the author of death. He exposes them. He makes them clear and sets before us the flow and what each of the flows have. I set before you life and death, blessing, cursing. And then he does this for people who don't know which one's the better one. Then he does this. Choose life. Choose this flow. He even told you which was the flow. He even told you which flow he would meet you in. It's a choice. I said it's a choice. We're living the life we're choosing. Circumstances come that we're not choosing, but we're not living the life of circumstances. We're living the life of a flow of the righteousness and joy and peace. And that is the flow of the Holy Ghost. And if you're not joyful, you're out of the flow.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen. And when you're joyful, this is going to reflect that. And listen, y'all have more help than a lot of congregations. You got Pastor Joni.
Yeah.
I mean, that woman is wired beyond wired. And it comes from inside. And you may say, well, Pastor Nancy, I'm just not a very expressive personality. I'm not talking about your personality. I'm talking about the flow of your spirit. I'm talking about a spiritual force. I'm not talking about temperaments and personalities.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That this flow that is in us dominates our personality, dominates the traits and characteristics of the soulish being. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. If we're going to stay in the place where God's best can reach us, we have to stay in that flow. The flow of righteousness, peace, and joy. If we leave that flow, what is intended to flow into our lives from God cannot reach us. That's the flow where he meets us. That's the flow where we start filling up our lives. Fill up with his best. Amen. So since the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, what it's not is worry, fear, doubt.
Come on.
We cannot permit the flows of fear which come out through worry, anxiety, panic, all of these things that are really talked about so much and being so heavily medicated in society today. It's all from the spirit of fear. These are just expressions of the spirit of fear and how people, how they flow and affect people. But if we're going to be in worry, if we're going to be anxious, we're going to be concerned, we're out of the flow where God's best can reach us. And then we say, I don't know why I'm not getting healed.
Wow.
Because healing power flows in righteousness,
Amen.
Peace, and joy.
Yes,
that's the flow of God.
Amen.
So what is our job? To protect that flow in our life. When we protect, I'm not leaving righteousness. I'm not leaving peace. I'm not leaving joy. I'm not letting something steal my peace. I'm not letting devils steal my joy. And listen, there are many of us in here that could have in times past. I could have decided that the plan of God for my life was over the day my husband left. But my husband, as much as I loved him and as much as I loved carrying out the plan of God with him, he was not the author of the plan. And no matter who enters your life and no matter who exits your life, because there's going to be many that will enter and there's going to be many that will exit, but your joy better not leave with them. Your peace better not leave with them. And your peace better not enter with them. Your peace, your joy better not enter with them. They are a part, they can be a part of that flow, but they're not the source of it. Amen. And it is your job to get up every day and stir yourself in the flow of the kingdom of God. What is the flow? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Why does he throw this thing of righteousness? So that you won't get under guilt and condemnation of the past that will rob you from the life that he has for you.
Right.
Well, I've missed it so much. So what? We've all missed it. That's not qualification for you to step out of his flow. He does not authorize you to leave his flow out of remembrance of your past. Why? Because the blood has washed it away. And when the devil will throw all kinds of assaults against your mind, that you have to accept a measure of defeat because you missed God. That's what he will imply. You made that wrong decision. You went that wrong direction. So you have to accept a measure of defeat. No, you don't. That's what qualifies you for the blood. When I miss it, and the devil will say to me, you've missed it. Now you're going to have to suffer for it. You know what I say? I said, my miss only shows further how well qualified I am for a Savior. If I did it right every time, I wouldn't need a Savior, but I have one. And I want you to know you have one. But I want you to know who doesn't. Satan doesn't have one. And he wants to rob you from receiving from the Savior who rescues you when you do it wrong. Amen. He's made you righteous. Live aware. Live believing that what Jesus did for you is greater than what you've done against you. Does that make sense to you? Amen. We have to, if we're going to receive God's best, we're going to have to live mindful. I am right with him. Not because I've done everything right, but because Jesus did everything right. I'm not, you know what? I don't earn anything from God because I've done anything right. I have one approach to God, and it's on the basis of the blood, and that's it. It's not on the basis of anything I've earned or anything I've accomplished. Amen. And we have to become skillful at staying in the flow of righteousness, the flow of peace, and the flow of joy, because if we don't, the devil will rob from us God's best. Amen. If you're born again, you're washed in the blood, and you are right with God. Not because you do everything right, but because he did everything right. There have been times, of course, I don't have much of a struggle of people that say something to me wrong or do something to me wrong. I don't really struggle with what people, if they do something against me. That's just never been my thing, because haven't you ever heard I'm the charter member because I'm the founder of a club. Founder and charter member of the I Don't Give a Royal Rip Club. I don't give a rip. I just don't care. You joining? Pay up your dues, sister. Let's come on. Not that I don't care about people. I don't care about what the devil thinks about me through people. Right? If you get too entrenched in what people think about you. So I don't have much of a difficulty with what people think about me, because I don't give a royal rip. Right? Not that I don't care about people, but I don't care what the devil says about me through people. Because he uses people. That's why the Bible says we're not fighting against flesh and blood. In other words, they're not the source of what you're hearing that comes through their mouth. That's coming from another source. But what I have to deal with myself over is when I miss it. When I miss it. And I have to give myself a talking to. And I remember one day I was praying, and have you ever done it to where you repented for something and then 3 days later you're repenting for it again, and 3 days later you're repenting for it again? That's where I get disappointed with me, is the same misses. And one day I had missed it again. Not, you know, just really more in my own spiritual life, not, you know, in some lifestyle of sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about when you should do better. You should be further along in some things. And I was saying to God, and I was repenting, and I said, I'm here again, repenting. And I thank you that your mercy is new every morning, because I didn't spend up all your mercies yesterday. Right? And so I was repenting to him. And after I did, because, you know, we don't treat lightly when we miss it. We don't treat that lightly. It cost Jesus everything to cleanse us. So we don't treat it lightly and say, oh, well, no big deal. I missed it, God. I know you'll forgive me. Just go on. We don't treat it lightly. We're not slack about that. But sometimes then you can get so mindful of where you miss it that you don't really give full value to what the blood accomplished. So I had repented to God again, and I picked up a book and I was sitting down to read it, and I had this sense to get on my knees. And I put down the book and I got on the knees by my chair, and when I did, Jesus stood in front of me. And he said to me, he said, you've missed it many, many times. And I, at that, when he said that, I was so grateful that I brought it up first. What's bad is when you ain't even brought it up. You're like self-deceived. And I said, and he said, you have missed it many, many times. But I'm so glad he didn't leave me there either. He said, but I never have. So I share my success with you. That's what your righteousness is. Him sharing his success with you. You are authorized to live in his success, not yours. His success. His nature, you know, God's never failed at anything.
Right.
Never. Men have failed God. But God has never failed at anything. And his image, we're made in his image. His nature and his life is in us. You know what that means? His success is in us. He has succeeded at everything he's done. Jesus has succeeded at everything he's done. The Holy Ghost has succeeded at everything he's done. And that divine success is in us. Not so that we can bring our success, but so we can live off of his success. And this is what we're to live mindful of. His righteousness is his success with God. And it's mine. His righteousness, he made mine. Amen. I'm not out trying to earn it because I have his success. Why would I want to try to achieve something I never could accomplish when I already have his? Live mindful of this. Live aware of this. And if you're living aware of this, what that's going to produce in you is a joy flow and a peace flow. You're not going to be harassed and tormented, because every time the devil brings an accusation, you're going to go back to this righteousness truth. And you're going to say, too late, devil. Even though I missed it, he's already made me right. Yes. Amen. This is the flow that receives from God. And when we understand and when we're holding to who we are in him, instead of holding to our misses, do you know you'll leave your faults, failures, and sins in the past if you'll quit talking about them?
Right.
Every time you talk about where what you did wrong, where you missed it, or where they missed it, you bring it from the past into the present. You know what Paul said? I forget those things that are behind. Why, he left them in the past because he didn't think about them. He didn't talk about them. And when they, you know, the devil tried to use his past against him. But he told us what he did with that. I forget them. I will not let the devil cause me to carry around what I've chosen to forget. I forget those things that are behind. You know what things he's talking about? He was a murderer of God's people. He helped put to death God's leaders in the body of Christ. And he said, now you probably haven't done that. And he said, that is worthy of something, forgetting. Your past is worthy of one thing, forgetting it. Amen. Why? Because God wants you to receive his best. And we can't receive his best when all we're talking about, all we're thinking about is regurgitating the past. And if every prayer you start with is a repentance, you're not walking in your righteousness. If you're just always, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that, I missed it here, I missed it there, you're not even enjoying the fellowship that God offers you. Because you're just regurgitating and rehearsing what you're not instead of remembering who he made you to be. Amen. Amen. Choose. Choose. Every day I'm going to walk in that righteousness. I'm going to remember that I'm right with him and I'm not out trying to earn it. Because I'm righteous, it causes my actions to turn out differently. Amen. Doesn't that bless you to know that? That's the flow he has for us. That's the flow he has for us. But it's our job to stay in that flow that the Spirit of God flows and blesses us in. And that is the flow of righteousness, peace, and joy. That is the flow of the Holy Ghost. And that's how we live a life in the Spirit. Stay in those flows. Amen. Amen. Things are going to come to try to steal your peace. It's your job to protect it. 2 years before my husband went home to be with the Lord, the Spirit of God said to me, all I want you doing is practicing peace. Now, don't misunderstand me. I was not a troubled person. I have gone through seasons of tests like anybody else. But notice the words, practicing peace. You never get good at something you don't practice. You have to gain skill with these spiritual forces that are in you. The nine fruits of the Spirit are forces that are in you. We have to become skillful at those forces, thus drawing those up, responding to those, yielding to them, and them dominating the circumstances in life. That we have a better place to live out of than our emotions. We have the forces of these nine fruits of the Spirit: love, peace, joy, temperance, goodness, all these things. Those are more, they're divine flows and divine forces that are in us that we're authorized to live out of so that we don't live out of the drama side of us. We don't live out of the crisis of our personality. We don't live out of the weaknesses of our human personalities. There's another place to dive into and draw from. Amen. But they have to be practiced. They don't just flow up out of your spirit and dominate automatically. You draw them out. And you remember what Paul told Timothy? He said, stir up the gift that's in you. Amen. Everything that God has put in you, for it to flow, it has to be stirred. Yes. Everything that God's put in you has to be stirred up. And that's why a lot of people don't have certain flows dominating their lives, because they're not stirring them up. And it's not up to God to stir them up. It's up to you. It's not up to the pastor to stir them up. Pastor Joni is so skilled at stirring herself up. I'm just telling you, that's a spiritual divine skill is what that is. And it's our privilege, but also our responsibility to stir up what's in us so that we don't wait for the music team to do it for us. We don't wait for the sermon to do it for us. We don't wait for the prayer team to do it for us. Before we come to church, we start stirring ourselves up. How do you stir yourselves up? Now, ladies, those of you who cook, there are certain recipes that you cannot serve until you stir them. Right? I mean, have you ever had an oil and vinegar dressing or something and you don't shake it? And then you pour it out on your dressing. You go, well, it's got some right ingredients, but it doesn't taste right. Why? Unstirred. Shake it up, then pour it out. Nobody wants you poured out on them until the right things are stirred in you. Don't come and pour out offense. It shows you're stirring the wrong thing. Whatever you're pouring out is what you're stirring. It can be unforgiveness. It can be bitterness. It can be offense. It can be ill will towards somebody. Haven't you ever gone home around the relatives and somebody starts talking about how they did Aunt Mabel wrong and you don't even know the person, but by the time you've heard that story, you're breathing hard. I mean, I can't believe they did that to you, because someone else's words can stir something in you. And God wants us to stir what flows. He doesn't want a circumstance to stir us. He wants us to stir us, because the wrong things can get stirred. Stir up the righteousness. Stir up the peace. Stir up the joy, because that's the flow of the Holy Ghost, and that's the flow God's power is going to meet you in. People want the power of God, but they're stirring themselves in the wrong direction. They stir themselves in worry. They stir up fear. And then they want power from God to meet their need. And then wonder why it's not working. What flows in your life is what you stir.
Yeah, that's
good. So God said to me, 2 years before my husband went home to be with the Lord, all I want you doing is practicing peace. What's he saying? Stir up peace. And anything that is not of the flow of peace, reject it. That's what I knew he meant by practicing it. Pay special attention to your thought life. Pay special attention to the words that come out of your mouth. Pay special attention to the meditations. Pay special attention to what you're focusing on. So for 2 years, I did that. And you know where I arrived? Further in the Spirit is where I arrived. I went further and further in the things of the Spirit, because the greater your peace, the further you go in the Spirit of peace. The realm of God is a peace realm. And the further you go in peace, the further you go into His realm. Amen. So every thought that came to my mind that did not arrive me at peace, I rejected it. I answered it. Every thought. If I didn't become more peaceful thinking this thought, I refused it. If it did not arrive me at a better place, then I rejected it. I could have thought about, listen, money. I could have thought about things I felt. I could have thought about threats of the enemy, suggestions, the things bombarding. And I didn't say, is God speaking to me? Is this God? No, if it didn't arrive me at peace, God wasn't participating in that. So many people think, well, is God talking to me? Is that from God? If it's not bringing you into greater peace, God's not flowing in that. Why? Because he lets you know the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. If those things are not flowing at what you're hearing, God's not moving in that. Don't think that God's dealing with you through fear. Don't think that he's correcting your life by making you afraid of something. He's not a co-laborer with fear. He's not dealing with his children on the basis of fear.
Amen.
And let me tell you, I am not... naturally, I mean, just my temperament, I'm not a worrier. You know, some people, their temperament is they have a bend toward that, just naturally. They're pessimistic, or they tend toward worry. Listen, I've had, you know, relatives and stuff that did. I know what that feels like. I know what that sounds like. But that wasn't really me. I thought, boy, I'm doing really good at this life of not being worried, until a demon showed up. It's one thing to not be worried and to be in peace when there's nothing that's really challenging you. But what about when a devil is sitting on your head?
Uh-huh. Right.
You have to learn it at a whole nother level. So many times people are waiting for the devil to leave them alone so they can go in peace. And the Bible says that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies.
Right. Amen.
In other words, he wants you to be skillful at staying in peace when demons are trying to bombard your mind and trying to interfere with the flows of your life. And you're completely unimpressed. Completely untroubled. That's called practicing peace. It's not much of a practice when nothing's challenging you.
That's good.
Listen. Let me read to you the verse. Let me find it real quick because this is a verse that when I was going through a season of severe testing and trial, because it's one thing to say I'm not a worrier when there's nothing challenging you. It's another thing to say I'm not a worrier when you can sense a spirit of death in your house. When a spirit of death was in my house for 5 years looking for the opportunity to take out my husband. You could feel that thing. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and that spirit was there. You'd get up in the morning and you could feel it. Now, what you going to do about practicing peace? When you can sense the presence of that, you had to learn. That's called practicing peace. So I had to learn that even though my body could feel. See, when Satan shows up, he brings everything he is with him. You feel the terror, the panic, the fear, the torment, because that's him. He is a tormented being. And when he's around, you're sensing his torment, but it's not yours. It's his. So when he comes, and there will be seasons in your life that a spirit will come. You say, well, what's the matter with me that it comes? Well, what was the matter with Jesus that for 40 days and 40 nights he was tested? That devil was there the whole time. Jesus wasn't failing just because he was being tested. He was in there demonstrating mastery right in the face of everything he felt. He felt the presence of Satan. He felt all of the horror and the terror and the fear of Satan being present. And right in the face of it, he demonstrated mastery. Jesus wasn't led by the Spirit into the wilderness of temptation to see who was going to win.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
He was led in there to demonstrate mastery. And to give you an example that when a test comes, this is how you handle it. You notice he never had another season like that. Never. Never another 40 days and 40 nights. Why? Because what you master, you don't have to repeat. If you don't pass first grade, you got to go again. I mean, in the days when the education system was sound. You know, years ago when I was growing up, I don't know what they're doing in there now. You know, they just put people on through without any standard being met. But I'm talking about years ago when they really cared about the student. And I don't mean that as a slam. I'm saying society has accepted a lower standard in every arena, right? But in my day, if you didn't pass, they didn't pass you on just because they didn't want you to be embarrassed. You had to repeat it. If you're having to repeat tests, it's because you don't have the skill to get through it.
Amen.
Gain skill and you won't have to keep repeating it.
Amen.
Amen. But Jesus was in that wilderness, that season. There's a season of testing. So it's not just about every day staying in peace and joy when nothing's facing you. It's about when you're being bombarded. You have to have the skill for peace and joy. Now, see, I've gone a whole different way direction tonight. These notes. Why? Because he knows what we need. He knows what we need. And I want to read something to you, one of my favorite passages of verses, because it got me through one of the hardest seasons of my life. How do you think it felt for 5 years, a spirit of death in your house, trying to find an opportunity? How do you think that felt, that you never had relief from it? It was dark, and you had to learn how to stay in peace, how to stay in joy, and not get into the flow of dark that was there. Is it possible? That's why he spreads a table before us, right in the presence of our enemies, that we decide what table we eat off of. Why? Because some circumstances, some situations are going to put you in a dark place.
Yes.
But you don't have to have dark in you.
Yes.
It doesn't have to get in. You're never, as long as you're in this world, you're going to be faced with what is not light.
Yes.
Why? Because you don't have to have the situation to be light, because you are it. You are that light that you bring, but not if you don't know how to skillfully stay in righteousness, peace, and joy. You're not going to be able to bring the right flow to that dark situation. When a crisis comes around you, what do you throw on it, gasoline or water? Because there are some people who love the drama. They love throwing a little bit of gas on there. Just let's make it, oh, we fire that thing up big, baby. Your job is to be a diffuser. Walk around bringing peace to every situation, not heightening the situation. I've had at times, I remember one particular phone call from a member, a staff member years ago when Ed was buying the property, and Ed was on the road, and this certain staff member called me. They're not there anymore. But they said, oh, Pastor Nancy, I just got a phone call. They said that they're not going to sell us the property. We're not going to get this property. I mean, he was just, all up here. Why? He left peace. He was practicing leaving peace. And I said, stop. What did God tell us? What did Ed say that God said to him? He said God told him that's his property. That's the property. So I said, what's this phone call about then? Why are you calling me and telling me what they said when we already know what God said? I don't understand this phone call. That's called practicing peace. You shut down everything that would take you out of what God said. That would draw you away from what God said. That's called, you have to practice that. And if you'll learn it, you'll bring others into that peace flow. And he goes, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. I said, yeah, so bye. I don't care what circumstances say, because God already said something to us. And my joy and my peace is remembering, not feeling, remembering, not feeling something, remembering something. Remembering what God said about it. That's where the joy and the peace flows from, not just in listening to what circumstances say. It's your job to bring peace to circumstances. Why? Because circumstances don't offer them, so you bring it. I love this passage in Philippians 4:11, and this is the Amplified translation. The Amplified says it so beautifully. And this was a turning point for me when a spirit of death was in my house for 5 years. And for me to be able to live untroubled with that thing still there. And you say, well, why didn't you run it out? Because it wasn't there after me. It was under somebody else's authority. But I have the authority that no matter what I'm around, it's not troubling me. Why? Because I don't have peace just because things left. I have peace because I choose.
Amen.
I choose my flow.
Praise God.
Why? How do I choose my flow? By what I put my attention on. Philippians 4:11. Paul is in one of the darkest places a man can find himself. He's in prison. These prisons aren't like today's prisons where they have rights. Where they have TV rights and phone rights and visiting rights. Seriously, this was brutal treatment. You were there as a prisoner, and we don't care about your feelings because you violated society. But he's there without having done anything wrong. He's there wrongfully. Now you think about bitterness that could settle in. You think about offense. That you could sit in a hard place wrongfully, put there by someone else. And he said, not that I'm implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned, this great apostle said, I have learned. Listen, if this apostle of God needed to learn how much we need to learn. Meaning, you don't just automatically step into this stuff. You learn these things. You learn these truths. You learn these flows. For I have learned how to be content.
Amen.
not worried, Amen. Not harassed, not troubled. Now, I'm going to finish reading this in a moment, but I want to go back to something Jesus told Dad Hagen. He said, there are three places in the earth demons primarily congregate. You see, they're everywhere, but there are places where they congregate. He said, number one, hospitals. Number two, universities. Why? They're after the next generation's minds. If the devil can get the next generation thinking wrong, he can work his plan through that generation. He said, number three, prisons. So Paul is in one of these places in the earth where demons don't just come, they congregate there to torment people. And he's there wrongfully. And what does he say? For I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am.
Wow.
What is that? Mastery. In the face of demons, he's in a dark place. He's in a hopeless looking place. He doesn't know if he's getting out. He doesn't know when he's getting out. But he's learned something while he's in this dark place. Every place can teach you something that makes you better. So he said, I have learned how to be content, not because the devil's leaving me alone and not because I've turned this place bright. It was a dark place. And he says, I've learned how to not to let it in me.
Amen.
You're going to have tests and trials that are going to come. The faith life does not dismiss you from tests and trials. It authorizes you to keep the door shut to them.
Yes.
To where they don't get in you. How do you keep tests and trials from getting in you? Stay in peace and joy. Amen.
Amen.
You know what I do when I get up in the morning? I love something that Dr. Summerall, as a 20-something-year-old, asked a man in his 80s, Smith Wigglesworth. He was visiting with him in England. And he asked him a brilliant question. He said, Brother Wigglesworth, how do you wake up in the morning? I love this. That's a great question. He says, I get up out of bed and I dance for 10 minutes. What's he saying? I get up and I start choosing. I choose. He chooses the joy flow. When you wake up, you don't feel like dancing. Now, Pastor Joni might, but I don't. Naturally, I wake up slow. Some people, my husband, the moment his eyes woke, the moment they open, his feet touch the floor. Man, he's up and he's just going full speed. I just lay there and I grunt. And I grunt. And I go, oh my gosh, be quiet. I don't want to talk. I don't want to have a conversation. After 10, I'll talk. I just naturally, I wake up slow. That's just me, okay? It's not a sin. Don't worry about it. But when my feet hit the floor, my hands go up and I say, praise the Lord. Jesus, I love you today. I'm so grateful for your plan today. I'm living for your plan today. I'm fulfilling your plan today. I choose your best today. And I just start talking.
Amen.
Why? I'm choosing. Before something else can start talking, I choose. I choose. When Smith Wigglesworth, who his ministry produced the miracles that it did, and the faith that we have an example of that has lasted for decades after his homegoing, we're still pointing back to him because he was not just a man of the word, he was a man of the word and the spirit. And when he says, the way I wake up, the first thing I do is I get into joy, is basically what he says. I start rejoicing. I get into joy. He's letting us know a key to the miracle flow. He's letting us know a key to the divine flow. You get up and you choose your flow that day. That's what faith does. It chooses what its day is going to have. Will circumstances come? Yes, but you don't have to go with them. You've already chosen your flow. And God said to me, all I want you doing is practicing peace. What was he saying? Choose your flow and become skillful at it.
Yes.
So I got to such a place in the spirit by staying. Did I lose the back? Thank you, love. I noticed that women are the ones who find these pieces. Men don't even recognize what they're for. Thank you. I don't know why that thing keeps flying off, but you keep an eye on it for me, would you? Thank you for finding that. So God said to me, all I want you doing is practicing peace. So I was entrenched in that flow, that it felt so different than years before. It felt so different when my mind wasn't renewed. I was saved, but my mind wasn't renewed. See, peace is the flow of the renewed mind. If you're not in peace, it's a sign you need to renew your mind further. See, as the renewing of the mind grows, your peace grows.
Amen.
And so by practicing peace, and what, remember what I said that meant? That meant I paid attention to every thought. I didn't just let my mind wander. I didn't just let it go anywhere it wanted. I paid attention to every thought. And if it did not lead me to peace, I refused to allow it to turn over in my thought life. If it was a worried thought, I kicked it out. If it was a fearful thought, I kicked it out. If it didn't arrive me at peace, it's not staying. I did that for 2 years. I was entrenched in this blessed flow of peace, because the more you practice it, the quicker you can step into it in a moment. It won't take you long because you've already know that place. You know what it feels like, and it's like a blanket comes down over your mind, and it's like nothing wrong can permeate through that flow. It's a joyous place to be. And I was so thankful. I had practiced on the day that my children walked back. I was sitting on the back patio, and my three children walked back, and I thought, well, first of all, they're looking at me weird. You know, mamas pay attention to how your kids are looking, you know. And why aren't you at work? Because they're supposed, you know, they're in the office. They help with the ministry. And they were walking around the corner, and they're just staring at me the whole time. And I thought, well, I'm looking at you. What's up with you? And so my oldest son said, Mom, he said, Dad was flying his plane from Kansas City today. He was en route to Texas. And he said, about 20 minutes after takeoff, the plane went down, and there were no survivors. I am so glad I had already practiced a flow, because there was another flow offered me that moment. But I was already so practiced at the flow I chose. And I said to the kids, I said, do not touch in your mind, why did this happen? How come this happened? I said, do not get into the arena of questions. Because if you get into questions, you've left the peace flow. Your mind will be harassed and tormented, and you'll just sit there and try to mentally figure out your answer. In God's realm, there's no questions. It's all answers. You're in the mental arena if you're in the arena of questions. Did I have questions? Yes, but I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I'm going to stay in the faith arena. I'm going to stay in the arena of peace. Because if there's something I need to know, it's while I'm in that faith arena, I'll hear. In the worry arena, in the fear arena, I can't hear. Have you ever noticed that when you're worried, you quit hearing from God?
Yes.
Have you ever noticed?
Right.
Why? Because He's not speaking in the flow of worry. You've got to get in the flow He's speaking in. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the flow He can be heard in. You're going to have to stay in that flow, because He's not speaking over here in fear and worry and doubt and confusion and torment. It's not His flow. You won't find Him there. If you want to find Him, you've got to get out of that flow. Get over into what He says He moves in. Now, not to say He won't rescue you, but I'm just saying, why even go over there and need a rescue? If you know where He's at, stay where He is. If you know what is it to stay where He's at? Stay in what He moves in. He's not ministering to you out of fear. He's not ministering to you out of doubt. And I was so grateful that day. that I knew easily, I'm not getting into grief. I'm not getting into sorrow. Why? Because I've already gotten so good at peace. Yeah. I didn't have, and I told my kids, I said, you cannot get in the mental arena asking questions, because if you do, you're going to get entrenched there because you can't find the answers in your mind. The answers for these things are not in your mind. And if we need to know something, God will show us, but it won't be through us going through the Rolodex of our mind. Right. Trying to see, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? And I said, I'm going to tell you, do not get into that mental arena, because if you do, you'll end up in depression. You'll end up in fear. You'll end up in confusion. And I said, and I don't have time to pull you out of that hole. Because I might not can. I might not can. God's been training me for 2 years how to get away from that hole. And I can't get drawn in it by you getting in that hole. He'll keep us in front of things. I said, he'll keep us in front of things. Hallelujah. But the way he's going to keep us in front of things is we have to stay in his flow. Hallelujah. I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed.
Amen.
If I'm disturbed, I've left peace. I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. No matter what circumstances face me, I've learned I refuse to be troubled by them. We know about this book in Philippians. You say, how do you stay in the peace flow, Pastor Nancy? How do you stay in the joy flow when really all my life I'm just good at worrying? I'm good at being afraid. I mean, fear has tormented me. It's dogged me. Worried thoughts have dogged me my whole life. How do I change? Do you know that there's one simple thing you can do that will change things overnight? It'll change the flow. And it's doing what Paul said in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What was he doing? He was telling us how he was staying untroubled while he was in that place. He rejoiced his way into peace. He rejoiced his way into that joy flow. When circumstances don't offer you joy, you got to bring your own. How do you do it? You choose to rejoice. Amen. I'm just saying, you could have gotten saved today and don't know anything about the word, but if I can just get this into you, if you'll get up and rejoice all throughout the day, praise the Lord, Jesus, I love you so much. I'm just so grateful for what you've done for me. If you will do that and make that a practice, it will change the entire outcome of every day. Amen. The kingdom of God is righteousness. You're right with him. What a joy. Peace and joy. That's our flow. If we're not moving in that, we won't go there. If a flow is offering us something other than righteousness, who we are in Christ, peace and joy, we refuse to go there. Worry will not arrive us there. Fear will not arrive us there. How do you answer? What do you do with wrong things and wrong flows that try to gain entrance into your life? You talk to them. You answer them. You say, no, you don't. No, you don't. I can't tell you the number of times that fear has tried to come when I've been had to make a big decision. I've had dreams where the devil would give me dreams and I'd wake up and I'd talk to it. No, you don't. Why? Because I'm practicing staying in peace. You don't float into it. You get there on purpose. You don't float into joy. You get there on purpose. You don't float into a lifestyle of righteousness. You get there on purpose by remembering who he made you to be. Amen. Amen. Are you helped tonight?
Yes.
Well, it's a little bit different sermon than I intended, but I'm so grateful that the Holy Ghost knows what we need and he helps us. Can I tell you, in the flow of the Holy Ghost, what's the flow of the Holy Ghost? righteousness, peace, and joy. Can I tell you that in that flow is where the miracles are? Can I tell you in that flow is where the healings are? In that flow is where the prosperity is. It's in that flow. Amen. And too many times people are trying to get a miracle when they're in the wrong flow. You got to get in the right flow. That's the flow where miracles are able to come into manifestation. Amen. I love something. Brother Richard Roberts is a precious friend of our ministry, and he's come, and he's coming in a few weeks to preach at our church, and we're thrilled about that again. But when he comes, I love that he'll quote some of the things that his dad would say. He'll sit in the back and tell us stories about his dad, and it's just if nothing else, just to hear the lineage of this family is just, it's thrilling, it stirs you. But he would quote something that his dad would say to us. He'd say, every day, miracles are coming to you or going past you. Every day. If we don't have our miracle, it's because we let it keep going past. We weren't in the flow. But if we will get in the flow and stay in the flow and practice the flow of righteousness, peace, and joy, miracles won't go past us. They'll stop with our lives.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.